How many of you all rejoice today that God is going to be who God said He's going to be? And God is going to do what God said He's going to do. Now, I want you to prepare for some things. First of all, how many of you all have a vibe that you're in crisis? You know, we're hearing a lot of different things, and here's the deal. Guess what? I mean, I want to bring us to a little bit of reality, okay? In 1980s, we had more unemployment than we do right now. Some of you are old enough, not many of you in this room, but some of y'all remember 21% interest rates. You remember those puppies, okay? Here's what I want you to know today. I want you to know that we're going to have to decide, are we going to listen to God? And we're in this text that God is a covenant keeper. Make sense? And God stays with His people. And God works with His people. And God is there when things are going really good, and God is still there when things fall out. Here's what I have found. This is just airs. Nothing we create lasts forever. Now, how many of y'all, that's not profound. I mean, if you are at a third grade level and kind of make some observations, you can come to that conclusion. That we can't make things permanent. So what is really something that we ought to give thanks about is that you and I have a God who has made a permanent covenant with us. And that's what I want you all to get today. That God's a God of covenant. Now, who said He would remember the covenant? God. God said, Moses, I'm going to remember the covenant. I am going to deal with Pharaoh. Now, how many of you all really feel like you need to help Pharaoh? Why don't we do this? Instead of trying to help Pharaoh, why don't we pray to God? You know what I mean? I do it. You know, I probably need to go to a 12-step program to get off the news. I really do. I'm addicted to news channels. By the way, I like to go to all the news channels because here's my opinion of the news channels. All of them are biased. In fact, where I get my news is from the Brits because they don't have any agenda to grind, so they just kind of give you the facts. They don't have an angle to put on it, right? But we all want our angle to succeed. And so here's what I'm challenging our thinking to. What about God's covenant? Will God's covenant hold up? What do y'all think? Will God's covenant hold up? How many of y'all believe God's got a covenant and it'll hold up? Well, it did for Moses. Remember? God said, Moses, I will remember my covenant. The covenant I made with Abraham, Isaac, and who? Jacob. I have a covenant, and that covenant will happen no matter what. Well, here's what happened. Pharaoh tries to overwork the people. And then God kicks in Moses. Moses cannot change the situation, but the God of Moses is the God of all situations. How many of y'all realize God's riding with us right now? Watch this. Here's what I want you all to know. God didn't go up in heaven. He's not sitting up in heaven. He's looking down at America and He's going, oh no, what do I do next? Their economy's gone bad. God knew we were going to have a bad economy long before we figured it out. In fact, God knew it so long that when He began to give us instructions in His words of wisdom, in the proverb, what did God tell us His people? He said, the debtor will become a subject, word in Hebrew, a slave to the what? And you're surprised. How many of you, other than the pastor here preaching, went out and absolutely violated that principle and found God to be a God of truth? Anybody do that? How many of y'all that gave you some plastic? How many of y'all got some credit cards when you were young and you went and drove them up? Didn't any of y'all do that? Other than I. My wife told me not to, but I did. I'm going to be honest with you guys, okay? I drove them up, and guess what I found? I was working 3 part-time jobs a week. Not because that was the will of the Lord, but because that was the stupidity of Steve. And I had brought into my life a severe consequence. I had spent what I didn't have. How many of y'all have ever spent what you didn't have? Okay, be careful with that principle. It's a biblical principle. That's not politics. It's biblical principle. Here's another biblical principle. Nobody will stop God's movement. No government, no entity, no strategy, no science, no technology can stop the motion of God. That ought to give you praise. You ought to go, wait a minute, thank God that no matter what goes on in the world, nothing's going to stop what God has said. I'm telling you, it is that powerful. Once again, let me remind you, a lot of us, when we go back into the First Testament or the Old Testament, we say to ourselves, well, these were primitive cultures. This is Egypt. Pyramids, gold, the neon lights of its time. This is high technology. This is sophisticated military might. This is the pride of leadership. This is the place where it is happening. Now, do I got you okay? People wanted to be like the what? Egyptians. When Rome was in control, people wanted to be like the what? Romans. Greece. Like the Greeks. When Britain had an empire, everybody kind of wanted to be like the what? British. Then as America rose to power, everybody kind of wanted to be like the what? Americans. I mean, it's amazing. If you get to travel any part of the world, you'll find a McDonald's. Where'd that come from? Huh? That's how powerful it is. Isn't that cool? Yeah. I mean, you can be like in Adar and there'll be like golden arches in Arabic. McDonald's. Westernized. This is a nation of influence. Moses said, God has told me, Pharaoh, to tell you, you need to let his people what? Go. And guess what? Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let them go. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, I want you to look what happens. Plagues begin to happen to the city. Egypt is plagued. And they're plagued because guess what? God sends the plagues. We got gnats. We got flies. It's like a picnic. How many of you have ever been to a picnic where you've had a gnat attack? They won't kill you, but they sure will aggravate you, won't they? So we get these aggravations. We got livestock is plagued. The plague of boils. The plague of hail. The plague of locusts. The plague of darkness. Darkness falls over the city. Now, here's what I want us to know. Listen, guys. We are people of God. Amen? We come together because we're people of what? God. I want to contend to you, this is what our nation needs. We need the people of God to be the people of God. What do you think? And we need to be the people of God because we need to stand up for the principles of what? God. And guess what? Once you believe these principles of God, these truths of God, you're not going to step away from them. I'm going to pray for hope on people. Guess what? Here's what I know. You can't buy your way out of the situation. I've just worked in it too long. You know how people get out of poverty? God changes and renews them through grace. You can put money into it, money into it, money into it, and it'll never deliver it. That's what I want you to see. You know? Yeah, I mean, you can fly balloons, you can put out billboards, whatever you want to do, but there's got to be an encounter. God's going to set me free. How many of you all found that if you were addicted to something? You really got released in it when you and God did business. It's not because you had a best friend that looked at you and said, hey, you're being stupid. It's when you went, wait a minute, God, I know you can do something in my life that I cannot do. Welcome to what? Grace. Grace. God's what? Grace. How many of y'all glad to know that God made us all? Does everybody know this? God made red people, yellow people, green people, black people, white people, English-speaking people, Arabic-speaking people. God made who? People. And God delivers who? People! Now, here's what we know about people. How many of you all have messed up at least once? How many of y'all have violated something God asked you to do at least once? How many of y'all are this far along? When you don't do what God tells you to do, there is the consequence there that God told you would be. How many of y'all found that to be true? Now, here's what I want you to know. There will be consequences. There are plagues. Why are there plagues? Because Pharaoh, his heart has been hardened by God. And you say, well, why would God let difficult things go on? God wants these people to know that Moses cannot deliver them. Pharaoh's not letting them go. God is making a move. Now, here's what I want you to know. And it is probably going to bother some of you. God does not mind making you uncomfortable. If you don't believe me, ask your mama. Who created the process of life? God did. What's a part of the process of life? Bringing in new life. I've never seen a mother delivering a baby that was just at ease and peace. Unless they gave her one of them epidural things. But she's what? As life comes in, there is difficulty, there is misery, there is this upheaval because life is coming in motion. Same with God. And we get through these plagues. The plague of darkness was interesting. Darkness falls over the city. Okay, and guess what? The only place that there was light was where the Israelites lived. Man, I think that's really the way we ought to be. Church, guess what? This place ought to be a place of light. True? This place ought to be a place where all types of people can realize that God wants to change their lives forever. Man, that's a tough order, amen? That's a tough order. Because what does the world promote? The world tells us, don't get along, be divided, be this, be that. God says, I want you to be my people. He goes on to this point. These Israelites are my people. God says, I'm going to make such a move in Egypt. It will be distinct. It will be absolutely evident that there is a difference between the Israelites and Egypt. Go with me to verse 7. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. There's coming a moment. The plague of all plagues. Now look what it says. Know that the Lord makes a distinction. Now who's making the distinction? Come on, follow me. You got to look at your scripture closely. Who makes the distinction? Between Egypt and who? Israel. Now what's our problem? We like to make the what? Is it our business to make the distinction? Anytime we make distinctions, what do? We mess up. That's exactly right. That's exactly right, Kim. Anytime we start making distinctions, what do? We mess it all up. Now, who needs to make a distinction? The Lord. Now, here's what I want you to know. There is a distinction. And I know it's going to bother some of you. Are y'all holding on to your seats? There is a distinction between those who believe and those who don't believe. A distinction. And who drew that up? God. There's a separation. There's a different way of life. There are different consequences that follow their lives. How many of y'all understand that? Now, y'all understand I'm old-fashioned. I believe kids should still make an F and still make an A so they know where they are. I believe if we play sports, we ought to keep score. And if you get beat 100-0, guess what that tells you? You are really, really bad at the moment, and you need to go work on some things. I believe that you, through the power of God, you, through the power of God, can become anything God has created you to be. And I'm not going to lose that. God is the one that makes the what? Distinction. So he says, there's going to be a distinction. So here's what happens. Now, here's what I want you to know. God is going to remember His covenant. God will not let go of His covenant. God is a God of covenant. God is a God of mercy. And God signs His covenant in blood. Do you know any of our leaders that'll sign the covenant in blood? George Bush sent us to war, but I didn't see him go get on the front line. Hello? Pharaoh, he's getting a little shook by now. He's tired of the plagues. He's tired of the consequences. God's got his what? Attention. But guess what Pharaoh still won't give up? His power. You want to stay in slavery? Then just hold on to what you have. How many of y'all know that'll keep you in slavery? Hold on to that addiction. Where will that keep you? You keep trudging on those bricks of Egypt. Hold on to those prejudiced thoughts. Where will they keep you? In slavery, you'll blow all kinds of opportunities. Hold on to this mentality that says, somebody owes me something. Where will you always be? Enslaved. I'm telling you, God is a God that does not like slavery. Somebody say amen. God wants, y'all got this? And so we got to draw a distinction between those folk who are going to live under the covenant of God and those folk who are going to deny the covenant. These plagues sweep over Egypt. We get to the gnarliest plague of all, the Passover, the plague of the firstborn. And this is what God tells Moses. Can you imagine this? God says, the firstborn of everything is going to die if there's not blood over the doorpost. How did I tell you God signs a covenant? In blood. Woo! Maybe that's the way we ought to do our marriage covenants. Some of y'all say I already have. Huh? Maybe that, you know, we used to do this when we were kids, well, way back in kids before we had video games and stuff, you know. We would kind of prick our fingers and don't do this today. Do not do this in today's times. But how many of y'all ever made a pinky promise? And you know, if you was a tough kid, you pricked your finger and you got a drop of blood. Do not do this today. Am I clarifying that? And you made a blood what? Boom, you went like that. We're blood brothers. Do not do that today or you may be dead brothers. True? This is a different world. We didn't have AIDS when I was a kid. It wasn't there yet. It was on its way. We were working on working it up. Because what were we doing? We were violating what God said to do. And what y'all all go, everybody goes, why do we all freak when I say that? Including me. Because we've all done something God told us not to do. Hey, there's two things that unify us. We've all sinned, and we all can only be forgiven one way. Isn't that pretty interesting? As unique as we would like to think we are. And there are some people, they come to me in my office and say, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I've sinned really bad. I said, no, you don't understand. All sin is really bad. But now, we don't believe that, do we? We kind of got like category one sin. There's a way we kind of do it, you know. Category one through five sin. This is kind of not as bad. And then we got your middle class sins. Those run from 5 through 10. And then 10 to 15, really bad. The big stuff. When you get caught in public. Huh? Most of the time it comes really bad when a whole lot of people know about it. Amen? In fact, it was interesting. I had the privilege this week of hearing a guy who runs the Muhammad Ali Institute, and just a real interesting guy, and he talked about how Muhammad was willing to show his flaws. That is to Magic Johnson and both Muhammad Ali, I've respected them really greatly about one issue in their life is they've exposed their flaws. They say, I'm a flawed human being. Who's made some contributions. Well, you know what? Pharaoh's a flawed human being. We're all flawed human beings in some way. Amen? But then there's the covenant of God. And the guy answered, he said, you know, the difference between Muhammad Ali and most men is this. Most men who make a mistake, 3 or 4 people know about it. When Muhammad Ali made a mistake, the whole world knew about it. Well, you know, Pharaoh's fixing to have a world echo here. Moses said, God wants the people released. Pharaoh's heart was hardened by God. He's not going to release him. Now, some may ask the question, why would God harden Pharaoh's heart? Who is the deliverer in this episode? God. If Pharaoh had let the people go easy, what would the people would have said? Pharaoh's my healer. Isn't it interesting? How many of us want another healer other than God? And you got to be careful because it's real easy to turn to other gods. We've done it in America. How many of you all have even had this dream? There's no way I can watch TV unless I have a high-definition television. I need the God of high def. All the wives are looking at their husbands. See, I told you. I blew it there too. Okay, watch this, huh? But how many of you all have had other gods? Come on, we do it. You say, if I just have this, then my life will be delivered. You see, we got to get to Egypt out of our brains. And here's what God does. He begins to move. He gives Moses the plan of deliverance. He said, tell the people this. They need to kill what?
They need to kill a lamb. Why? Because God keeps a covenant. He made a promise to Abraham. Abraham, you're going to be the father of many people, many descendants, more numerous than the sands of the ocean and the stars of the sky. But he said, I want you to go take your son's life. And what did he send in place of his son's life? A lamb. Some 400 some years later, he says, go get a lamb. Slay the lamb. Take the blood. Put it on the doorpost. Because here's what's going to happen. There's going to be an angel pass over. It's an angel of death. It's the final plague. Tell the people that when men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people. And Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. Watch this. If you'll do what the Lord tells you to do, eventually the people will notice a difference. I bet it was pretty echoing to them, wasn't it? When they were in total darkness, who had the lights on? Israelites. Now, Pharaoh may not have picked up on that, but guess what the folk did? How many of y'all have always found there's a difference between the folks and the leaders? Like they always take surveys of what churches believe and what pastors believe. They never line up the same. You know, pastors may say, man, I thought I preached a good sermon. And the church says, man, that was the worst sermon he ever preached. Sometimes there's a gap between the leaders and the folk. What do you think? Well, you know what the folks notice? They notice, wait a minute, God's hands on this people. Now here's where I want to go with this. How many people in your life notice that God's hands in your life? Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to go through difficult things. Listen, I'm not going to sit here. There is no way I can tell you as your pastor that if you follow Jesus Christ, you're going to escape difficult situations. That is unbiblical as it gets. But I do think this, God delivers us from difficult situations. How many of you all found that's as biblical as it gets too? But don't think this. Well, I'm going to invite Jesus Christ into my life and there's never going to be a crisis and I'm going to have no more financial problems and my marriage is just going to be wonderful all the time and my children are going to follow behind me like little ducks and do everything I say because you're going to be sorely disappointed. You're going to follow Jesus Christ and you're going to say, dear God, I need Jesus to keep from taking his children out. See, God works. He's a deliverer. Amen. Okay, now have I established that God's a God of covenant? Have I established with you that God delivers, no matter what anybody else says? Now, here's what I want you to know, the third thing. You must participate in God's deliverance. It's a participatory event. I mean, I just think it's cool to me that God signs his covenant in blood. What do you think about that, Mr. Johnson? In blood. He steps out in blood. I don't know too many leaders that sign it in blood. Do you? In blood. They believe it. Now, watch this. We've had moments in our nation. We've had to sign things in what? Blood. Elizabeth's father in World War II, he signed some things with his blood. I used to watch Elizabeth's father. Many of you, some of you even still in this room, were from World War II. I used to watch my father-in-law at Christmas steal, flip out shrapnel that he caught in World War II. 50 years after that event, he was still remembering that event. When I was in Israel, I went through the Holocaust Museum in Israel. It was a deeply moving experience. It's two issues. How degrading can humanity become? Till how powerful God can deliver. This is the situation in Egypt. The firstborn will be killed. But there is blood of deliverance. Watch this. God's trying to send us a message. Without his blood, you're going to what? Say it. Come on, I'm going to make you confess it. You're going to die. You're not going to be a bad person. You're going to be a dead person. You're going to die. You see, this is what we don't get in America. Following Jesus Christ is not a moral decision. It's a life or death decision. That's where we've dumbed down the faith. We've had all these gumdrops and lollipop preachers tell you that if you follow Jesus, you're going to have a good life. Baloney. If you follow Jesus, you're going to have a full and abundant life. That means in the midst of your difficulty, you'll be delivered. But nowhere does Jesus promise a deliverance out of difficulty. In fact, if you go read 16th, 17th, 18th chapters of the Gospel of John, it's quite the opposite. He says, don't be surprised when they talk about you. All right. Don't be surprised when they hate you because of me. All right. Remember, I am the God of covenants. And here's what happens. The angel passes through. Here's what happens. Go with me. Then Moses, verse 21, chapter 12. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. In other words, I'm going to participate in God's activity. I'm going to slaughter the lamb. Why are we slaughtering the lamb? Take a guess. Just take a guess. Even if you're wrong, I'll make it sound like you're not. Huh? We've got to have the blood. But why do they have to slaughter the Passover lamb? Don't get real theological, Jason. Just be practical. Huh? Somebody has to die. But why do they have to slaughter the lamb? God said so. See, this is where I'm trying to get you. How many of y'all overthink God? Don't ask Him why. Just do what He says. Which is, if I'd have listened to God, I'd have been financially stronger right now. Any of y'all had that problem? God said, don't be subject. Guess what I became? Subject, and it weakened my situation. Now, whose fault's that? What do I need to do? Well, God, I tell you what, I can't believe you haven't been a faithful God. And God, I can't believe you did this to me and you did that to me, because guess what? I don't want God to answer back. Because God can go, I tell you what, I gave you this, I showed you that, I put this in your hand, and you weren't responsible. Let's not talk about that, God. Let's talk about your delivering ability and not my irresponsibility. Hold on, let's talk about both of them. God has supplied an opportunity of deliverance. He still has today. He said, go get the Passover lamb. Watch. And the reason I like to mess with y'all a little bit, because I love you. But I want you to see, don't make this so complicated. Sometimes we do it because God said do it. And what did He say? Take the hyssop and do what? Dip it into the blood in the basin and put some of the blood on top of the on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you what? Down. How many of y'all are glad to know God still operates that today? How many of y'all realize you got the blood of Jesus in your life? The destroyer cannot take you down. You say, well, Pastor Steve, can I get hurt? Yes. Can I say, ouch? Yes. How many of y'all found that even in grace, when you don't do what God asks you to do, there's an ouch? There's an ouch. But remember, I'm bringing you back to this. You have a God that has signed a covenant in what? Blood. Life. Let me end here. Obey verse 24. How many of y'all want to enact and understand the covenant of God? There's a word. What is it? Ouch. And the way we get through the ouch, I love it, Mr. Ward, is the obey. Mr. Ward, if Jordan obeys, what's your all's relationship like? What? Jordan, did you hear that? It's wonderful. I'm not picking on you, Jordan. I got one too, and I was one. You've been a son too, as well as a father, hadn't you? Yes, me too. Jordan, guess what I found out? It's an amazing thing. How many of y'all found out when you actually did what your parents asked you to do, they were better people? Amen. How many of y'all were like me and you were a little rebellious growing up? Anybody rebellious growing up? How many of y'all just looked at your parents and thought, what an ancient antiquity of humanity? I remember I used to look at my dad and I was like, you are so not cool. You just do not understand life. Here's my father who graduated like Val Victorian. I mean, I can't even spell Val Victorian. He graduated one. And, but at 16, I was more brilliant than my father. Any of you 16-year-olds more brilliant than your parents? Okay, good. You're good. That means you're normal. You would have too much wisdom if you realized right now you're not as brilliant as your parents. Guess when you will realize you're not as brilliant as your parents? No. When you hold one that looks like you. All of a sudden you get one, you look at it, and it looks back at you going, you remember all the Cain you raised with your parents? Welcome to my world. And then you realize this child doesn't think I'm intelligent. But wait a minute, I didn't think my parents were intelligent. And eventually we walk our way all the way back to who? God. There is one who is intelligent, God. Now I want to close on verse 24. Have y'all felt a little bit encouraged today? Y'all know you're going to make it. Y'all pray for our leaders. We're going to make it. Here's what I want you to know. We're going to make it. But I'm going to be honest with you. Not everybody's going to make it. Because guess what some people are going to do? They're going to disobey what God says. They're not going to put Jesus Christ in their life. They're going to step away from grace. Now, here's what I want you to know, because you all are Americans. We're Americans. I'm glad to be an American. But guess what? We think we can buy our way out of everything. And I don't want you to be conned. I'm not worried about your bank account. I'm worried about your eternal salvation. And I'm afraid that in America, there are going to be many Americans that stand in judgment and tell God they weren't that bad. And God, you ought to save me. I gave 50 cents to the Kiwanis. I helped the Lions Club, or I gave money to help poverty or something. I ought to be able to get in heaven. I did a couple of good deeds. And God's going to say, no, don't you understand? You don't have any blood over your doorpost. And what God wants you to know is you got to do it His way, not yours. Hello? Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. What did Jesus do? He became the Passover lamb. Because we have a God who told Abraham, I'll provide the lamb. And when they got to Egypt and things looked dark and things looked destitute, Don, and everybody was broke and they had been taken over, God provided a lamb. And when the sins of the world had so crushed humanity 2,000 years ago, what did God do? He provided a lamb. Now, here's the difference between God and myself. He'll write what He says in blood. I like invisible ink myself. Tell the truth. I'll stand by you until it hurts me. How many of y'all are like that? I'm making you get real honest, don't I? I mean, even some of you people who lie saying you've never told a lie. There's you a liar right there. Anybody's got to tell you they're telling you the truth? Run. Because if they're telling you the truth, they wouldn't have to tell you that they're telling you the truth, because their conscience would be clear. Did y'all get all that? Not ask God to explain it to you, speaking in tongues. Here's the moment, guys. Listen. God loves us all. God delivers His people. He's a God of covenant. He's a God of deliverance. Here's the thing. When God moves, He moves. When people join with God, they move with God. And God is unstoppable. No force will stop God's grace. Republicans can't do it. They've tried. The Democrats can't do it. They've tried. The independents, they're just waiting to see who's going to move. They can't. The communists can't. Would somebody tell me a government that's ever held up? So quit panicking. I'm going to give you one. It doesn't come from here. I am the King of Kings, said Jesus. So guess what? I am an earthly resident and citizen of the United States of America. I am a documented citizen. But I'm temporary. I am an alien. Not an illegal alien. I am a forgiven alien in this land. But I'm a foreigner that's only passing through, because what does God say? When the blood of the Lamb goes into our life, our citizenship now is where? In heaven. How many of y'all glad to know you got an address in heaven? Now, I don't know what it is. I just know you're somewhere. And here's what I know. No matter what house you get in heaven, you ain't going to complain about it. Isn't that cool? How many of y'all, hey, give me a pup tent in heaven. I'll probably have a pup tent. If y'all look up on that, it'd be a little old, maybe one tree there and a pup tent. And I'll have to mow the grass forever. And Elizabeth will be up there in a mansion next to me, laughing for the first 1,000 years. And I'll have to mow her yard too. I'd rather do that than in heaven than live in a mansion in hell. Hello? And so I want you to know God loves you. He's not giving up. And He is coming through. Has this made sense today? Has it made sense to you today? Let God speak. Amen. And here's what I want you to know. I'm going to tell you the truth. And here's what I want you to know. Some of y'all going to get mad on some of the issues I got to address. But you've been mad before and you stayed at Hillview. Guess what? I get mad at me for some of the things I have to say. Because guess what? Guess who hadn't done them? See, y'all got it easy. Y'all get a 30-40 minute shot, unless I get on a roll, an hour. But guess what? I got to struggle with this all week. Just think, from Monday to Sunday, I got to realize how lousy I've blown this principle. And so that's why I say, man, only the blood of Jesus will deliver. Amen. And so let's keep it together. Let's stay together. Let's love together. Let's live together. Raise these families together. Love one another together. Because here's what I believe. If we will honor God faithfully, He will show a distinct difference between those who are His people, amen, and those who are not following His principles. Those are the lines I would rather see drawn in our nation. We draw a lot of lines, but I would love to see these lines drawn. Faithful to God, not faithful to God. That'd be a great witness. Amen? And we would really know. Okay? All right, well, let's stand together. Verse 12:24 said, you got to obey these things, Keith. Told him you got to obey these things. If you would like the blood of Jesus in your life, here's the obedience step today. How many of you today need to come and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I need your blood in my life. How many of y'all need the blood of Jesus in your life? Every one of you do. How many of y'all realize it? Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I need you to forgive me. I believe you died on the cross. I know that you've risen from the grave. And I need you to come into my what? Life. Life. Let that happen. Amen? Let that happen. Let that be real. Let that happen. Some of you need to come today and say, God, thank you for not leaving me in spite of me not listening. That's always a great prayer and a good healing time. You know what? How many of y'all going to come pray for what's going on in our nation? Let's pray for folks. You know, here's some things I want to pray for. I want to pray that people get jobs. How many of y'all want to pray that? And so guess what? There's two phases that pray. First of all, I want to pray that people go to work. And I want to pray you got to start somewhere at a job. Watch this. Let me give you all a heads up. Sometimes you got to work where you don't want to work to get to where you want to go. All right? You say, well, what do you mean? Well, you know, sometimes you may start flipping burgers. And guess what? You think, well, man, I'm just flipping burgers. But then guess what? You end up owning the whole store. That's pretty cool. I got a friend of mine, and we go see him once a year at his houseboat, and his houseboat looks like a daggum mall. You know how he did that? Hamburgers. He's good at it. See what I'm saying? Let God take what you have and do something great with it. All right, let's pray. Lord, today there's some folk in here, Lord, they need that blood over their lives. They need the blood of Jesus over their lives. And I just ask right now, Lord, that just like you spoke to Moses and spoke to those people in Egypt as after there was darkness and plagues and disaster and crisis, Lord, you said, put the blood over the doorpost. And Lord, I pray today some people will come and say, Lord Jesus, come save me, forgive me, love me. I pray, Father, for those that need to be baptized, they'll come and get that done today. Lord, those that need to be healed, that they'll come and be healed today. Lord, those that just need to be forgiven, that forgiveness will just touch their lives right now. So for just a moment, this altar is going to be open. You may need to come and talk about baptism or talk about salvation or just be prayed over or listen. Most of all, in the name of Jesus, I hope you know that you know God will not leave you. And so come let Him love you. Amen. But you got to do what it says over there in 12:24. You got to obey what God says. This stuff doesn't work by just listening to it. Eventually, you got to put your blood in there with His blood, and He'll take you where you're supposed to be. Amen. You're headed to heaven. So in the name of Jesus, this thing is open, and you come and let God love you. Amen. Come on, church. This altar's open. Baptism's available. Healing's available. Prayer's available. People are starting to come, so come on. Come on, we're going to have to move fast today. We don't have a lot of time. Long-winded preacher, come on.